Welcome to The Nourished Nervous System, an exploration of stress, the nervous system, and transformative self-care practices for parents and other humans through the lenses of Ayurveda, holistic coaching, somatic practices, herbs, and much, much more. I'm the host, Kristen Timchak, a holistic life coach, Ayurvedic educator, herbalist, and mother of a tiny human. Please join me for information, insight, deep thoughts, and small steps to help you nourish your nervous system. Hello, welcome, and welcome back to the Nourish Nervous System. I hope that you're finding some moments of aliveness and connection and beauty in your week. I know there's a lot going on right now with eclipses and everything that's going on in the world. So I hope you're finding, just those precious moments where you can feel your nervous system relax and be nourished. And if you're interested at all in doing the Simple Spring Reset with me, the deadline for signing up for that is April 9th. So if you're curious, want to find out if it's a good fit for you, you can go to the show notes to schedule a free exploratory call and we can see if it's a good fit. Okay. So I've been thinking a lot lately about how certain thought patterns or ways of habitually thinking are actually forms of chronic stress. I think there's probably a bunch of them, but some of the ones that come to mind for me are excessive judgment, perfectionism, comparison, self-criticism, people-pleasing, etc. So for this episode, I want to focus on perfectionism. And I guess all of these patterns feel related to me because I think they all come from a root of not enough, and it's just being expressed in different ways. But before I begin, I will remind you that this podcast is purely for entertainment and educational purposes and should not be considered health or mental health advice. Anything said should not be taken as a replacement for medical, clinical, professional advice, diagnosis, or medical intervention. Okay, so perfectionism. So in psychology, perfectionism is a term used to describe a personality trait that involves constantly striving for perfection, maintaining high, sometimes excessive standards, and refusing to accept anything less than flawlessness. And so I've been reading a bunch of articles and studies linking perfectionism to so many health concerns, including anxiety, depression, and autoimmune disease. I've also seen some articles talking about the positive side of perfectionism, the ability to maybe strive and succeed and get shit done and work hard. And I used to agree with this point of view, thinking about that there has to be some gifts that come with this, that it developed to protect a person in some way. So what if you can embrace the parts of it that may help you? And my view is actually changing around this. I read an article that was on the BBC website that was talking about a meta-analysis of 43 studies on perfectionism and burnout. And one of the researchers was saying that, and I'm going to paraphrase here, that the idea that there can be a healthy perfectionism is actually a misunderstanding. That the traits we may see as healthy, like working hard, being committed, being diligent, are actually just symptoms or side products of what perfectionism truly is. So perfectionism is less about high standards and more about unrealistic standards. And a quote from the article is, "Perfectionism isn't a behavior, it's a way of thinking about yourself." And I think that's really true. Separating behaviors that may occur because of perfectionism, which may be healthy or positive traits, from the thought patterns inherent in perfectionism, which are ultimately stressful and damaging. So someone who may just be hardworking and diligent, who has high standards, may be able to set a goal and reach a goal and feel a sense of accomplishment or relief or success. But I think with perfectionism, the goal is not something that can ever be reached, no matter how well you do. It's always just a little bit farther. You can do a little bit better. And even when you reach that said goal, there may not be the sense of satisfaction or pride, but thoughts of how you could have improved or ways it wasn't quite good enough, or just being on to the next goal. So it kind of reminds me of like you're climbing a mountain where the peak is always looming just out of reach, no matter how hard or fast or expertly you climb. And because I believe that perfectionism is operating somewhere from that belief that you are not enough, it will always have your brain looking for evidence that supports this. So no matter how well you do, it's never enough. And that's such a stressful thought. So one article I read was in Psychology Today, and the psychologist Leon F. Seltzer argues that childhood experiences likely play a pivotal role. So children who are raised to believe that the amount of love and approval that they receive is directly connected to their achievements and accomplishments may be more likely to display perfectionist characteristics, which makes a lot of sense. I mean, parents are a child's most significant and informative relationships. And so if there's a sense they'll not receive love unless they achieve and do everything perfectly, that's going to have a big impact. In another article I read, which was an interview with Dr. Thomas Curran, who's a social and personality psychologist at the University of Bath, he was actually one of the researchers of the meta study on perfectionism that I spoke of a little bit earlier. And he talks about three different types of perfectionism: self-oriented, socially prescribed, and other-oriented. And so self-oriented attaches this irrational importance to being perfect. And the people who are self-oriented may be highly critical of themselves and hold these unrealistic expectations for themselves. And the socially prescribed is people who believe that their social circle excessively demanding that others judge them harshly and that they must be perfect to secure approval of their community. And then the other oriented is people who put unrealistic standards and criticize the people around them. And there has to be more studies done before they can see like if there's different parts of the world that correlate to these different types of perfectionism being higher. But what they are finding that in the United States, the self-oriented perfectionism is very, very high, as well as the UK and Canada. And that they're seeing the socially prescribed perfectionism being higher in places with more communal cultures like those in East Asia. But everywhere, all over, and especially in westernized, industrialized societies, the increases of both all of these types of perfectionism are high, but especially the self-oriented and the socially prescribed are just getting higher everywhere. And so this article is also saying that there is some amount of perfectionism that may be genetic, but that a lot of it has to do with the environment that someone's raised in. And I think that probably, like many things in our world, there's a spectrum of perfectionism. I never actually considered myself a perfectionist because I can have this tendency toward messy, not dirty. I love clean, but I can get a bit cluttered and unorganized. And when I do crafts like knitting and sewing, I can have a tendency to just do good enough. But recently I've been seeing how there is some level of perfectionism that I notice in certain areas of my life. I'd say especially in business, in my ability to be seen and heard, which I think are central to running a business these days. The other area is parenting. And I'll get into that in a minute, but first I'm going to talk about areas in my business being seen and heard where I experience perfectionism. There's a lot of ways I used to hold myself back from sharing what I know, from speaking up in a group because I felt that what I had to say wasn't good enough or smart enough, to always feel like I needed to do more trainings before actually putting myself out there. The idea that before I start a podcast or create a website or post things on social media that I have to know all of the information, and it was paralyzing for me. And to be transparent, I do think researching and having solid information is really important, but it's impossible to know everything about something. It's just unrealistic. And Brené Brown talks about perfectionism being and I quote here, a self-destructive and addictive belief system that fuels this primary thought. If I look perfect and do everything perfectly, I can avoid or minimize the painful feelings of blame, judgment, and shame. And that really rings true for me in my personal experience of perfectionism, that if I have all the information, if I do all the trainings, then I won't make mistakes, that I can avoid judgment and blame and shame. And this in itself is not realistic. And it's a form of chronic stress, both the tangible stress of having to constantly do and achieve and how that can lead to burnout, but also the psychological stress of those thoughts of self-criticism and not enoughness that create their own kind of tension in the body. These thoughts are always circulating just beneath the surface, and they don't serve my highest good at all. And the kicker is, they don't actually keep me safe from the judgment and blame and shame. So I think on the spectrum of perfectionism, I'm not the most perfectionist person, but I'm still experiencing perfectionism. I'm still steeped in the societal, the socially prescribed perfectionism. And one way this shows up for me is just the perfectionism around trying to parent perfectly. And there's just so much information out there about how to parent and how to gentle parent and how to conscious parent and all these different styles and methods. And I think something in me that happens is just this like striving to be something that's so unrealistic, taking into consideration my own humanness and my son's humanness. Like, these things are helpful. I'm so grateful to have access to so many different ways of thinking and tools and ways to parent. But on another level, sometimes for me, it creates an unrealistic goal to attain, where sometimes I just need to be a little bit more compassionate to myself as a parent. Other way that I see perfectionism showing up in my parenting is a little bit more zoomed out. And it's a little bit more, it's not just in my parenting and with my child, but it's more of like the whole role, the societal or social perfectionism, how it affects me in my role as a parent and as an adult human. All the studies are showing that there's been this drastic rise in perfectionism over the past few decades, which totally makes sense with the rise of social media and being able to see these curated windows into someone's life that often don't always show the struggles and messy bits. And I think when I think back, I feel like this probably maybe first started with like the 50s Leave It to Beaver era of people watching TV and watching these sitcoms where everyone's watching this life and thinking, oh, that's how life should be. I should be able to do it all. And so I'd like to share a story that feels tied into this concept of the socially oriented perfectionism. And I think of it as like a systemic societal perfectionism. So as you know, I'm the mom of a four-year-old and my son doesn't have preschool on Mondays. And my partner works all day those days. So it's just me and my son. And so I'm recording this on Tuesday. And so yesterday we had this great day together. We played outside a bunch. We went to the playground and did errands. And when we got home, he watched a couple shows while I was cleaning up the house a bit. And while I was cleaning, I started to get a little overwhelmed. I don't know if you've ever had the experience of kind of feeling like your house is okay, but then as you start to clean, you see all the mess and it's like a Pandora's box opening of more and more mess. And so because I had been working on this episode and doing research and all these things, I had the idea of perfectionism in my mind. I've been thinking about it. And then as I'm starting to get overwhelmed, I also was, and I have these thoughts often, I was also thinking about how there's just not enough adults in our household. Like, there needs to be at least one more adult to get everything done that needs to be done, but more would be even better. And so I'm having all of these different thoughts. I'm going through my cleaning and then my son's showtime is over and I'm trying to balance cooking dinner with playing with him and giving him attention. And then at some point I need to really focus on the cooking, and I'm seeing the pile of dishes that's still in the sink. I'm trying to cook, and my son is in the kitchen pulling on me and saying, "Play with me, Mama, play with me. I need you to play with me right now," over and over again. And I just had this moment of just rage filling my body. And I was able to see it and take some space and have a moment with myself to move my body and move some of it out. And in that moment, I had this awareness that felt profound for me. And maybe I'm showing up late to this game here and you're going to be like, "Well, duh, Kristen." But I had this awareness that my rage is not directed toward my child for wanting my attention or my partner for not doing enough around the house. My rage is actually toward this system that tells me that I'm supposed to be able to do it all. I have so much awareness around our individualistic capitalist society and how it affects parenting, but somehow this connection that my mom rage is somehow connected to this societal perfectionism, this impossible task of working, cleaning the house, taking care of a small child, keeping up with all the aspects of life, and that all of these jobs that should be spread between multiple people are on the shoulders of, if you're lucky, two adults in a household, is just ridiculous. I get why people who have the resources have cleaners and have nannies, but so many people don't have those resources and still hold this unrealistic expectation that they can do it all. It's just impossible. And for me, having that realization that I'm not actually mad at my son for wanting my attention. That's just the way he's wired. It's not his fault. I'm not mad at my partner who's working every day and exhausted when he gets home and is really trying his best. I'm mad at the societal structures that have us living these isolated, separated lives that we can't possibly keep up with, and having us think that this is normal, that there is something wrong with me if I can't do it all. So I don't know if this is perfectionism, but it really feels related to me. It feels like this way that I'm holding myself to some sort of standards. And I don't even think the standards I'm holding myself to are as high as other people's standards. Like if you saw my house, you'd be like, "Whoa, you know, you are like definitely not a perfectionist." But there's some way that it's like this thing of like, I should be able to do it all. And I just can't. And I don't, and it's not because there's something wrong with me. It's because it's not possible. So one of the ways I'm working with my own personal version of perfectionism is, you know, just by this, by acknowledging these thoughts and by working on rewiring my pathways of affirming my enoughness. So if you listened into last week's episode with Chandra, she was talking about finding the antidotes to stressful thoughts and then repeating them. So I am enough. This is good enough. I am good enough. I am okay. And when it comes to adulting and parenting, it's so helpful for me to acknowledge that I can't possibly do it all. And so what I do get done is enough. And I don't want to become a robot that's just doing my self-care in order to just stay afloat in this crazy rigged game. I want to do self-care that's helping me to thrive and to feel more alive and to break through some of these ways of thinking and these ways that I'm wired, and to have more compassion for myself and for the people around me who are also probably struggling with this stuff. And I definitely don't have answers to changing the societal structures in which we live. But I think there is this thread in becoming more alive and helping others to also be more alive, to be more human and creature instead of robot. And I think perfectionism has us moving more towards robot and less towards creature. Less towards human. So starting this podcast has been really healing for me. I don't actually consider myself articulate. I don't like the way my recorded voice sounds. I edit my episodes so that they are coherent, and it's getting better, but I have in the past have had a lot of anxiety and fear around speaking in certain situations. I used to be a teacher and I've taught lots of things in my life, so in that situation I feel comfortable, but letting myself actually be seen, telling little bits of my own story, and also just the technical learning of how to do this thing that has a very public learning curve has been really healing and empowering for me. And in order to get better at podcasting and interviewing, I actually have to do it and put out content that is sometimes messy and sometimes imperfect. Sometimes I don't do the editing the best. Sometimes my music comes on when it's not supposed to come on. And sometimes my episodes are not that good. And I just have to trust that if I keep doing this, I will get better. I'm definitely a work in progress with all this. And I think that working with perfectionism is a long road, however it shows up. And especially when it's steeped into our society and it's kind of like, it's like the water we are drinking. But I do see progress in myself and some healing. And I mentioned a few episodes back that I'm doing a business mentorship with Luna Dietrich. And part of our goal setting is capacity building goals. And so I think this can be another antidote to perfectionism, because when you're building capacity, it's acknowledging that you get to be where you are at and just do a little bit more. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to go to your limits or extremes. It's like a slower and gentler process of building your capacity for whatever it is you're working on. It's the baby steps. So building capacity for imperfection may look like doing something small imperfectly. Like if your perfectionism is in your house being super duper clean, maybe it's leaving some clothes on the floor and doing it consciously and telling yourself that you are okay, that you are enough. And if it still feels stressful, doing something that helps your nervous system, a breathing practice, a small somatic practice, completing a stress response. So starting small, building capacity, and being gentle with yourself. I think there's so much self-criticism that's inherent in perfectionism. So I think compassion can be also be an antidote. If it feels hard for you to have compassion for yourself right now, just try it out on other people first. Have compassion for that mom in the store whose small child is yelling fuck at the checkout line because she won't buy him a toy. And if that mom happens to look suspiciously like me, that is completely just a coincidence. I think compassion is a muscle that can be strengthened the more you practice it. So start small, and maybe when you've tried practicing having compassion for other people, you can try it on yourself. I think perfectionism has a rigidity to it. And I think about it in the terms of Ayurvedic thought. If healthy order and striving and high standards are akin to healthy pitta, then I think perfectionism is like highly aggravated pitta. It can feel fierce and relentless, and it puts walls up around your heart. And so I think compassion can really help to soften and melt those walls. Compassion practice is so helpful for pitta dosha, for aggravated pitta. It helps to cool and soothe and soften the sharpness of pitta. And so I think I'm actually going to stop there, because I think I want to give you your small step for the week. And it's related to this concept of compassion as an antidote to perfectionism. And so whether or not you feel like you struggle with perfectionism, compassion's a great muscle to strengthen no matter what. So your small step is to find a loving kindness meditation. You can Google loving kindness meditation. You'll find tons of them. And so basically this is a meditation where you repeat phrases like, may you feel happy. May you feel safe. May you feel healthy, etc. And you can change the subject to give yourself loving kindness, to give someone that you love loving kindness, to give someone you are angry with loving kindness, or to offer the world loving kindness. And you could also change the phrases. You could say, I am enough. I am okay. Whatever feels authentic for you. But give it a try. It's a really lovely practice. If you'd like some more resources on self-care and resilience, I also have a Nourished for Resilience workbook, which has an assessment tool, some questions for deeper exploration, and a habit tracker that you can use to start creating some healthy habits in your life. You can find it at www.nourishednervoussystem.com/resilienceworkbook, or I will also link it in the show notes. And if you found this episode helpful, please share it with someone who would enjoy it. And if you share on Instagram, remember to tag me at Nourished Nervous System. Well, as always, I am so grateful that you're here. I love doing this. I love being here with you. And thank you so much for listening. I hope you have a nourished, imperfect, a little bit messy, and joyful week. Hey there. Thanks so much for listening. I'm feeling slightly less awkward, but this podcast thing is still a big learning curve. So I appreciate you staying tuned as I learn. If you are enjoying the podcast, please rate and review. It helps me get seen by people besides my friends. And if you are not enjoying the podcast, I hope you're not still listening, because life is way too short to listen to podcasts you don't like.